And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You are listening to Single Podcast Theory. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I am Brad Blazek. Yeah.
Episode 143, track 6 on Gigaton. We're returning to our song-by-song kind of breakdowns of the new record. And it's time for track 6, All Right, which I'm excited about. How about you?
Me too. I love this song.
Cool. We're going to have some agreement. I love that the song that we have the most disagreement on is the last song of the record. It's like we're building up to that episode.
Right. Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Where our job for that episode is to talk about a song that's one of my favorites and you can't stand it.
Right.
So that'll be interesting.
I love that it's the last song, because it's like I love all the other songs, so it's like when you get to the end, and if you just chop that off of the end, you would still have the whole rest of the album. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, sure.
The fact that it's not like it's
in the
not
middle,
like this song. Yeah,
yeah, I get it. I guess I get it, but I can't believe we're talking about River Cross right now. So but that's not this week, my friend.
Right.
How are you doing?
Oh, man. I'm good.
Bradley sleepy. He's real tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have always been a light sleeper and an early riser. Is that how you'd say it? I usually, even before like my current job, I'd wake up. I would never sleep past like 8 o'clock, like ever. Rarely.
Yeah. So what happened was this is Sunday morning for us. And I was like, oh man, let's shoot for 10 o'clock because I've got a 1 o'clock session thing. So that'll give us time to get it done. And so I call Brad at 9:30 saying, oh, I didn't think about the fact that, the drive-thru is the only thing available for coffee, and it's a long line, because no one can go inside the store, right? So I'm just letting him know that I'm going to, it's going to be a little bit late. Don't hear from him, which isn't normal on a recording day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it gets to be like 10:30, so I finally text him, and then I call again at about 10:30, and oh my god, you are so adorable when you wake up.
Yeah, what was that like?
The phone rang about 1,000 times, first of all,
right?
And
right.
Then so I was just waiting for voicemail, and at that point I was a little insight into my brain, I had decided you were either asleep or dead. Because this is so weird that I can't get a hold of you on a show day, like a recording day.
Yeah.
And I figured, man, he's probably just tired, or he woke up early, couldn't go back to sleep for a bit, and maybe he like dozed off at 9 o'clock and didn't mean to, something like that. But
yeah,
you were just like, hello. And then it was just, I was like, hey man, and it was like you didn't even hear me, and you're like, oh my god. I was like, oh, my little baby's tired.
I guess I had kind of how did I describe it? Worst day ever. I had a really rough day at work yesterday, and maybe I was just totally wore out. Susan was like, I was trying to keep the dogs quiet, and I'm like, you did a good job, because fuck, 10:30. And I don't know how much I would have slept even later if he didn't call me.
Yeah. That would have sucked.
But it
was
one of those, I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. It was like crazy.
Man, that's the headspace you want to be in before you yes, for recording a podcast.
Right. Yeah. So this might be a wild ride.
We've already had a false start on the intro because
right.
neither one of us could get a phrase out of our mouths without fucking it up. So this is kind of take two on this one in a way. All
hey,
right,
man.
What?
It's all right.
Oh. I didn't think you'd do a pun that early.
Yeah. Well,
this early in the show. Oh, Brad. We're going to make it?
Yes, we are.
We're going to do this shit. Okay. So,
yeah.
If you'd like to email the show, our email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. We are on social media, on all of them. You know where to go. And what else? Oh, if you'd like to support the show, you could head over to patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. And speaking of Patreon, we have two new patrons this week.
We do. One is Paul Mazey, OG listener.
OG, yep.
And the other one is Chris Warren. I think I recognize that name too. So he might be another OG listener. But if not, Paul Mazey and Chris Warren, thank you both so much for signing up over there at the Patreon
to
help
really
support the show. And
we really appreciate
everyone who's yeah, it's awesome. It's such a, I don't know, it's a cool thing.
Hell yeah, it is. Keeps us going. Got you that new equipment.
Mm-hmm.
That beautiful microphone and preamp.
I love it so much.
So we can hear the sultry, dulcet tones of Brad B.
I did an episode with Clint a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he switched over to video because I didn't think, they talked about it, we weren't going to do video. And he was like, you know what would be fun? Let's go to video. So he turned a video on and put the episode out on YouTube. And I was like, I don't know, dude. I look a little rough. And he's like, no, look, you got your microphone. You look professional.
Yeah, you do.
I was like, oh.
Did you shave that head yet?
No.
You're not going to?
I did not. No?
No.
It's too much. It's too much work. I already shave my face every week, and I can't stand that.
Man, I don't know, dude. I think...
I thought about it. I thought about... Dude, I'd be standing in the bathroom, dripping fucking water and shaving cream down onto my back and shoulders. Like, I don't want to do that.
What are you talking about? What a lame reason. Because you assume that you're going to be like a fucking bull in the shower china shop with this stuff and make a mess. Just don't make a mess.
You ever wash your hair in the sink?
Not if I can help
it. But you've done it.
Yeah.
And there's water running down your back and your shoulders and your face.
Do you wash your hair in a sink?
That's not fun. No. But I would shave like that. Shave my head like that. Like standing up. I mean,
no, you do it in the shower, bro.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
Well, I don't shave my face in the shower, so I just assumed.
Oh, man. No, because you're going to be. I don't understand you. Is this because you woke up? Are you putting me on right now?
No. I mean, it might be because I just woke up, but I'm being serious.
Yeah, man, just do it in the shower.
All right. Well, no, I mean, either way, I'm not doing it, so.
All right.
Not right now.
You'll wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You'll wait until that one hair that's hanging on in the center of your bald head. Otherwise, bald head.
Like Homer.
Yeah.
Like Homer.
That one guy that's just hanging on. That Japanese guy on the island that thinks the war is still going on. He's like that guy, mm-hmm. hanging on for dear life. The last of his kind. I appreciate that you see it to the end, man. It's good.
I'm stubborn.
You are stubborn. That's very true. All right. So should we move on to the emails?
Let's do it.
Okay. Who's up first?
We have Brian Cohen. He's talking about Versus, our Versus Take Two episode. What's up? What up, Brads? Man, what an album. I could listen to it every day. I think my favorite thing about Pearl Jam, you guys touched on, every song on Versus sounds so different. There's so many albums out there that just sound like one song. Fear Inoculum, cough, cough. Excuse me, Brian. Fear Inoculum is an amazing album. And I think each song has its own special.
Yeah, but I agree with you. But, I mean, I take his point, though.
Yeah, I do, too. But I love Tool. And I love Fear Inoculum. But Pearl Jam can put out 12 songs that each have their own sound. Yeah, okay. I take it back. I'm not mad anymore. I get his meaning.
Thank God. You sounded like you were about to really come undone. I was worried there for a minute.
Yeah. I'm not even going to address... Oh, here we go. I'm not even going to address Brad B constantly bashing Dissonant because it's so ridiculous to hate that song. It's not believable.
I love it! Just fucking say it, dude. I like it. Thanks, Brian.
Rearview Mirror. Yeah. Rearview Mirror. Best Pearl Jam song? Maybe best song from the 90s overall. Now this dude's talking my language. They could come out in concert, perform just that, and leave, and I'd be happy. When Eddie screams Rearview Mirror and Mike comes in with wailing guitar, I get goosebumps. I could listen to a whole episode on just that song. Maybe it's been done. I'll have to look. Have we done Rearview Mirror? I'm sure we have, right?
Yeah, it was just like a Rearview month Mirror episode. Ago?
Yeah.
A month or two ago? Something
yeah, because
like
that was the one you did the, like...
Oh, yeah, we did...
Rearview Mirror live through the years.
Well, through different drummers, the jam section.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good episode, out, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with him. That's like, I love that song so much.
Same.
One other thing. When I bought the cassette, it didn't say Versus anywhere on the tape or jacket. I can't remember if it actually said Versus anywhere. Later when I bought the CD, it was just plain orange, no name. Did they add it later? I could probably just Google that on my own. All right, Brad. That's all I got, Brian. Yeah, Versus kind of had a weird... The name of the album kind of has a weird history because they were going to call it like Five Against One, and then they were going to call it Versus, and then they were going to call it just Pearl Jam. So I think those initial like first printings just didn't have a name on it.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. I'm trying to, I wish I'd brought my, I already forgot to bring my Gigaton vinyl with me for this episode. Shame on me, but I should have, I wish I could look at my Versus vinyl because I have one of those, you know, I bought it when it came out or whatever, one of those first pressing deals or whatever.
I bet it doesn't have it.
I don't think it does.
You know what it, I think... The now that I'm a vinyl nerd, I know that do you know what a hype sticker is?
Actually, I don't.
That's what they call like on the plastic. There's like a sticker, like on the shrink wrap.
Oh,
they put like a sticker that says like, you know, new album.
Right.
I'm pretty sure the hype sticker said Versus on it, but it doesn't. It's not printed on the album itself anymore.
I think you're right. I think I remember that when I bought it.
Does that sound... Yeah.
That actually sounds oddly familiar. I could be totally wrong, but something just kind of like popped in my brain when you said that. Mm-hmm. It was on... Yeah. I feel like I remember it was on the top right quarter.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm 99% sure my copy does not have Versus anywhere on it, maybe on the binding, like on this, maybe, but definitely not on the like the front. I don't know.
I think they should put out a new like a reissue of the vinyl on orange vinyl. Because if you remember, the CD was like all orange.
Oh, yeah. Now that would be cool. Like just like a one run pressing of orange vinyl. God, that'd be gone so quick.
Oh, man.
I'd never people get my hands on one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Let's see here. Thanks again, Brian. Appreciate it. A friend, Jessie, from the porch, wrote in. It's just the subject is just blood, all caps. She says, blood begins to play. And then it's me, I guess, making some sort of guttural sound.
Yes.
I don't remember. Maybe I'll try and go back and find it.
Yeah, you should go back and drop it in here because it's pretty funny. Because I listened to the episode after I read this, and it made me laugh listening back to it.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'll have to find it. And then she says, me speaking to my car speakers, fucking exactly. Hearing y'all revisit verses has me reminiscing about just how damn good this album is. There's not a song to be had on this record that isn't absolutely amazing. Yes, Brad B., even Dissident. You've inspired me to spend some more quality time with it, and I thank you. When Blood began and Lyons let out that from the gut noise to express his love for the song, I felt that in my emotional core. Since the beginning of my journey with Pearl Jam, Blood has always been one of those songs that just stops me in my tracks. It blows my mind every single time. Between Dave A's cracking drums to Eddie's painfully incredible screams to Jeff's insane noodles in the last 30 to 40 seconds of the song, everything about it is absolute perfection. As I mentioned in our supergroup episode a month ago or so, it's in my top three on the album, and possibly in my top 10 for their whole discography. Glad to hear y'all's familiar, hilarious personalities during a time where things seem unreal and disheartening. YouTube buds play a big part in my life, and I'm thankful for you both. Lots of love from one half of the porch pod, Jesse. Well, I mean, I wrote her back, and I'll just say the same thing now, which is like, it's just like, amen to all of that, because I think, you know, I could have written something almost exactly like that about that song, as far as it's always been. There's just no way that song's coming on and I'm not feeling something real deep. And
right.
That is a song, even though it's not my favorite Pearl Jam song necessarily, like I wouldn't put it at number one. I just can't imagine there being a time where that song comes on and I don't like, there's songs that I skip. I would never, ever, 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 ever skip Blood.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I might skip my number one favorite Pearl Jam song before I skipped that. Anyway. You got anything about Blood?
I mean, I love it. I feel the same way. I mean, you can't help but it was just when that snare drum and guitar comes in. I mean, you just want to mosh in your car.
Well, and that's the thing, too.
In your living room.
Fuck yeah. And that's the thing, too. It's that his vocal hasn't lost its luster over time, right? Like, I remember kind of the first time I heard that song. I'm playing through the album for the first time. And you're already like, holy shit, just when the band comes in. But you haven't even heard the vocal yet, right?
Right, right.
And in a sense, it's like every time it gets to that point, it's like, it feels like the first time I heard it. It's almost like I'm surprised every time just how fucking powerful and nasty and beautiful that vocal is, you know? Anyway.
Yeah.
I could do a whole podcast series on Blood. Not really. But the other, I'm going to say this too. What I love is all those things are true, but it's all built off of an odd time signature. It's not an easy song, man. It's not an easy song on the drums and vocals. You're just kind of along for the ride on guitars, actually. But those off odd time signature rests in the song for Dave and, I mean, for the whole band, but especially Dave and Eddie to be on the same count with each other. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like when a band is, you know, does like a stop of some sort and they come back in, it's normally just a four count, right? Like most musicians, that's just a four count measure is kind of just the natural. Most people can feel that. But when you get into like a, I think it's in five, right? And you have to go one, two, three, four, five, one, two, three, four, five. But you're playing this super emotive. You're not counting in your head, right? I doubt Eddie is. I doubt Eddie in the back of his head is going one, two, three. Maybe Dave was, maybe. But then when they stop, it's not just, you're not feeling a normal two, three, four, and everyone comes back in, right? On the stop, they're going one, two, three, four, five, one, two, three, four, five, in. That kind of shit. That's super hard to do, but you would never know that if you were a musician. You know what I mean? Like, do you think about that kind of stuff when you hear a song like this?
No.
And that's what I love
so
much.
And I never did until, like, you know, the last couple years talking about time counts, time signatures with you and Clint and Ethan talk about it a lot too,
right.
Which I think it's super interesting.
Right.
You know? But yeah, when I listen, that's not the first thing I think about. I'm just listening to the song. I might like what you're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. Like I can understand what you're saying, and it kind of is like, it's like a listening. The next time I listen to it, I probably will try and figure out the time, the count of it.
Right. Yeah, it's weird, man.
Which is, it's like opening up a whole new dimension, you know?
Mm-hmm. It is, man. Because it's just another aspect of the song that's like hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like all you need is the part that makes you feel something, right? But when you dig into it and you find out that there's all this weird math going on, and that's that's the thing about like proggy type rock that I never... I respect it.
Like, speaking of Tool.
Right. Like well, Tool's a different thing for me, but in general, I'm not like a prog rock type of guy. I respect the talent and I think it's good music and blah, blah, all that stuff, but I don't really listen to it. And one of the reasons why is that for me, it feels like people are counting in their head when they do that kind of stuff.
Right.
And what I love about Pearl Jam is that they sneak that shit in. Right? Like, it doesn't feel off time. It just feels aggressive. I don't know. I think it's...
Does Elderly Woman have a weird time?
No, it's just
weird
in three.
Count? I don't know if I'm saying...
It's like a waltz. Okay. One, two, three. So, no, I mean, that's... It's not straight. It's not 4-4.
Right.
But it's not weird. I mean, that's a fairly, it's just like kind of an upbeat waltz feel.
Yeah.
In three.
I don't know. I just, I mean, I like, I don't listen to a lot of prog rock, but I like some of that stuff.
Sure.
What you're talking, like the nerdy math part of it, that doesn't bother me. I kind of like that part of it.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, like Tool does it in a musical way. I guess that's my point, is that Tool does it in a musical way. I feel like Pearl Jam Rush. Does it in a musical way. Yeah, although I don't love Rush. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But the rest of it, I can kind of... I'm fine not digging into the rest of that kind of stuff. I just know that it's not my bag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, you're more of a feel guy than a...
Yeah, for sure.
Math guy. I like both of them.
For sure. Well, thanks for that, Jesse. Appreciate it. Who you got next?
Thomas writes in and says, now, how do I say this? Corduroyantine.
Yeah.
Corduroyantine?
You got it.
Say it out loud. It sounds cool.
Corduroyantine.
What's up? Corduroyantine. Yeah. What's up, Brads? This email has absolutely nothing to do with corduroy, but I was kind of proud of the subject line. It's been a while since I emailed. Life has been pretty nuts as a teacher with e-learning. I can't even play the slide whistle I bought since it's at my school. I just recently bought my first house and got engaged on the same day. Needless to say, it's been an expensive couple of months.
Woo.
Yeah, man. Oh, man, that's like some big life. On top of the fucking corduroy and Dean.
Yeah, no shit.
You bought a house and got engaged. Man.
Yeah.
2020. Anyways, you can't leave Pearl Jam out of major life decisions. I ended up ordering 6 new Pearl Jam vinyls. Might as well add to the money pouring out of my bank account with the house. I'm trying to memorize all the lyrics from Pearl Jam albums. Am I a fool for not knowing them already? Interested to see if you two or anyone who listens to this podcast already knows all of the lyrics. It's unbelievable to see how many lyrics I have had wrong for years and years. Oceans, Satan's Bed, and all those yesterdays have been my new favorites after learning all the lyrics. Thanks for the hours of entertainment, Tom.
You're welcome, Tom. I'm the same. Yeah. Dude, there's times where I've learned a correct lyric that I had wrong on, like, mm-hmm. while we're recording. Yeah. It just been like, oh shit, I'm gonna play that off like I knew it the whole time. Yeah. But I thought that was completely different, you know? So
yeah.
And
I probably know like 90% of the lyrics for the first 5 or 6 albums, and then it starts to kind of taper off how much of the lyrics I know.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense. I don't know. Yeah, I had a lot of them wrong. But it goes back to, I think, kind of what you've brought up. We've both brought up a couple times, but I think you're the first one to really bring it up, which is Eddie using his... There's got to be a better way to say it because it sounds so obvious. Using his voice as an instrument, meaning he tailors the lyric to the phrasing a lot of the kind of the dummy mumble phrasing he's been just kind of singing while the band plays.
You
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so sometimes I think lyrics do get lost because of that, but with him, it doesn't necessarily matter. I don't know. He really fits into the sound of the band. A lot of bands, the vocals like way on top. You know, it's like all about the vocal. And I mean, not that Eddie's vocal is buried, but it's in balance with the rest of it, everything else. If you listen to the mixes a lot, especially the old stuff.
Well, and he uses, I don't know how to say it, like weird words sometimes. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like spill my tincture.
Right.
That's corduroy, right?
Yeah.
Like that lyric took me forever to try and figure out because I'm like, what? I don't even know what tincture is. So is he saying teacher? Is he saying like still my teacher? I always thought that's what the lyric was. Still my teacher. Like he's talking about like people in life are still teaching him.
Well, hey, I meant something to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So fuck it.
But then find out a few years later, no, he's saying spill my tincture. What the fuck is a tincture?
Yeah.
And how does that fit into the rest of the lyrics? You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, I'm like you, there's still lyrics that I'm like, oh, that's what he's saying?
Well, and I think that, how many rock bands are putting out records that really speak to the culture and the time that we're living in right now?
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah. None that I can think of.
Not a lot. I mean, I'm sure there are.
Not a lot. There's,
But like for me, when I want to hear someone that's speaking about what's going on in the world, it's tended to be, especially over the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, especially it's been hip hop. You know what I mean? It's like,
right?
It's Kendrick Lamar that's putting out a record like Damn in 2017 that's like, for all the things that are happening right now, he was talking about it then. Just like in the early 90s when I listened to Tribe Records, they were talking about all the same shit back then, mm-hmm. right? And I was just lucky that I love music and I love hip hop and rap. And even within that, I happen to be a lyrics guy. Like, I want to know what people are saying. I find that interesting. And when you do that and you realize it's not just a kick-ass beat that you can dance to, these guys have been, and girls have been saying stuff that it's almost embarrassing to be able to go back, and it's just, it's in written form. It's in artistic, right. musical form. People saying this is what's fucking going on right now. You know what I mean? And I think yeah. Eddie's the only, I was thinking about the other day, like if I had to, my window into these other people's worlds that I don't share the experience with, right? Has always been music. And I just kind of feel like rock and roll is not dead. People say that kind of stuff all the time, but Eddie's the only one writing lyrics that if I met an alien and had to use music to explain to them what our world's like, he's like the only current, they're the only current rock band that I feel like I would offer up as an explanation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You sound like you're back off the mic, just going,
I'm listening.
How much of that do you think I'm going to cut out?
Hopefully none, dude.
All right, we got Chris Thomas next. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Prolific Chris Thomas.
Yes. His subject line is, my favorite trinity of tracks. Hi, Brad and Brad. I've said this many times, but Versus is still the only record where I can honestly say there is no skippable track for me. It's not my favorite record, but it's still their most solid from start to finish. Sometimes when I have a 15 to 20 minute drive from one place to the next, I'll put on WMA and listen through Rearview Mirror. The only other sequence of three songs that is rivaling this trilogy of tracks for me is on Gigaton, strangely enough, and I have two different options from that record. Whoever said through Dance or Super Blood through Quick Escape. What I love about this sequence is that after the first five tracks, which sound very alternative rock for that era, including Brad B's favorite track, Dissident. Man, a lot of Dissident mentions this week.
Yeah, the people love it. They've spoken.
Yeah. See here. You get a very new sound in WMA that you would not have expected from the band at this time. I literally could play WMA on repeat the entire day and never get sick of it. Then you transition into what I consider to be the hardest song in their catalog, In Blood, and finally one of their most well-rounded tracks in Rearview Mirror. All three songs are worth cranking the volume in the car. I'm excited to hear the second takes from the other records you guys have coming up. I've seen a few of them in a different light since... I'm going to reread that line... I've seen a few of them in a different light since catching you. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a few of them in a different light since catching on to your podcast. Forced to endure what I could not forgive, Chris. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, a lot of people hitting on a lot of the same songs. I dig it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Blood references.
He's right. The three-song thing is a really... like good idea to, you know, to have in your back pocket if you just do have to go run somewhere real quick, you know?
Sure.
But those three songs on Versus is like a great, I mean.
Oh, hell yeah, man. that's a great trifecta right there for sure.
Yeah. Well, WMA into Blood, into Rearview Mirror, like,
that's a fucking powerhouse, man.
Crazy.
All right. Well, thanks, Chris. We appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who emailed. Again, if you'd like to email the show, it's singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. You can say hey on social media. And again, if you'd like to support the show, head on over to patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. All right. 143. We've moved on to track 6 from the new Pearl Jam record, Gigatron. let's talk. Let's rap.
All right.
We both like the song.
I do. We do.
I was making a statement, but it sounds like you might have some questions.
No, I was agreeing.
Oh, I do. We do.
Yeah.
And the I do sounded like a question. You said, I do. We do. I do.
No. That was just me. Like, I spoke too soon when I said I do. So I was trying to make up for it by saying we do.
Dig it, man.
Can we should we start love over
it. Nope.
Yeah, no, so I like this song a lot.
Yeah, man, I do too, actually. It's funny, I've listened to this song a bunch because I've listened to this record a bunch, but again, it's interesting when we kind of pare it down to an episode about one song, and so I kind of focus on one song,
right?
Which I haven't. I'm still listening to this record as a record. I haven't gotten to the point where I'm just going to a specific song necessarily,
right?
Although talking about the Trinities, it is funny. This was part. There was a period of time when I was listening to this record when I would just start with Quick Escape. So I was listening to All Right a ton. And that was just because, you know, we had already heard Dance and Superblood a bunch.
Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
I was ready for, when the record came out, I was like really ready to dig in on the other songs. So
the newer stuff. Yeah, that's why I hate when bands, I've seen this a lot, like bands will put out like 2 and 3 and 4 singles before they release the album. And it's like, I want it to all be new.
Yeah, I'm not. I was in the car the other day. The new Phoebe Bridgers record came out, I don't know, like a week or two ago. My sense of time is so fucked. But very recently it came out. And I'm done. Because I was less excited about the record because I think there were already 3 or 4 songs out. And they started coming out what feels like, I mean, it wasn't a year ago, but it feels like it was 6 to 9 months ago. And it just made the record less exciting. And so I think,
right,
especially for bands or artists that I really love, I think I'm just done and I'm going to wait. I'm not going to download singles. I'm going to wait until the record comes out and listen to it all at once. Because it started to ruin it for me. People are putting too much out as pre-release.
Yeah. I mean, I think it should be 2 at the very most. But even 1 would be fine.
Dude, I'd love to go back old school and go 1. You know, like put 1 song out like a month before the record comes out. And then on release day, put your next single out. Something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. I guess there's not really facts yet or anything about this because it's so new.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Stone did that thing where he talked about he did his own like track by track.
Right. You got the quote for that.
I could read this quote. Yes. Yeah, it says Stone defined it as, quote, the other side of Montana, the other side of Jeff Ament, unquote. Stone loves Eddie singing in the song and remembers how the demo was different, more minimal, and even darker. Thanks to the band, some arrangements have been added, and he loved it even more. It's one of the Gigaton songs that makes him most proud.
That's cool. And sorry, so Jeff was saying it was one of the Gigaton songs that makes him, or Stone?
No,
was?
I this was Stone
okay.
saying that stuff.
Cool.
But it's a Jeff song.
Which for me was obvious, without following along with any kind of liner notes or whatever, just in the intro, I was like, okay, this is a fucking Jeff song.
Yeah, it's got that weird, like, ethereal quality.
Yeah, that's, you could use that word.
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Ethereal. Kind of spacey and I don't know.
Sure. But it see, leaves like, that smoke, it smoke leaves that really quick. What's that?
I just see like smoke going through the trees and the mountains.
Yeah, kind of misty. Kind of a Tolkien.
Yeah.
Kind of a Tolkien in the Shire kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah, but I think it departs from that really quickly. I was noticing when I've just been listening to it on its own for this episode that it kind of leaves that really quickly. And then I think it's a cool example of, it sounds like this is probably all tracked at different places. Maybe not, but I imagine, especially since this is a Jeff song, this being one of those like the demo gets passed around and I don't know, Matt probably built some stuff, sent it, and then maybe, you know, Stone sent his stuff in. I don't know. It doesn't feel like, not in a bad way, it doesn't feel like it's a song that they were all sitting in the room together playing, is, I guess, is my point. Do you feel that way?
I don't know because, no, I don't, but only because I never thought, I don't think of it that way. Like when I hear songs, I'm not, you know, I'm not a producer. I'm not like a, what do you call it? Studio. I don't think of this, that kind of stuff, but that's just because I'm not a studio person.
Sure.
So, but that brings up something we forgot to talk about. And we should talk about this really quick is that All In Washington, benefit they did the other day, live stream thing.
Yeah.
Did you have a chance to watch that?
I did not.
So they played Dance of the Clairvoyance. Yeah. Yeah, dude, you should.
I'm definitely going to watch it, but now I'm really pissed that I haven't watched it yet. I've just been busy.
But it was like a lot of these live stream things the last few months. Like it's each one of them in their home studio playing the song, and then it's like mixed together.
Right.
And it was pretty cool. It's pretty cool because it's not just like they kind of, there's some production to it. There's some like visual production value to it. Like Mike is like wearing like fluorescent paint or something. And like, it's dark. So all you see is like the weird, like, paint on Mike. Eddie is like, I described it as Uncle Ed's, Creepy Ed's haunted house because he's holding his phone in front of his face and just like walking around his darkened house. And there's like weird lighting. And at some point, his wife and daughter are behind him, like doing this weird, like Stevie Nicks dance, like in black dresses.
Hell yeah.
It just looks like a haunted house to me. And then Josh Klingerhoffer shows up at some point. So it's pretty cool. But there's a lot of like chatter on the social medias about people are kind of freaking out that it wasn't quote unquote live.
Why? What do you mean?
And they're like, people are like, Eddie doesn't even have a microphone. Like he's lip syncing.
Yeah, all those are like that.
And I know. It's just
right.
I'm like, kind of surprised that people don't realize that all of these live streams, unless the people are in the same room with each other,
you can't
they're
sync
all
up.
Like exactly.
It's impossible.
But there was on the porch on Facebook, like people were like outraged almost, it seemed.
Well, what they want is literally impossible unless they're all in the same room. And then what's the fuck? I mean, then it's, I don't mean, what's the point, but kind of,
I think this was pretty cool the way they did do it because I mean, if it was just them all in a room, it wouldn't have looked as visually cool.
Sure. Well, and the whole point is that they can't be in the same room together, which is why they're not on tour, which is why they're doing right. the fucking videos.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it was
okay.
Yeah, but check that out. It's pretty cool. And it's definitely not the studio. It's not them, like, how do you say, like, guitar lip syncing? Is there a word for that?
No, I'm sure that they, you know, all saying? Play. Like, yeah, they all played their parts.
Live. It's, yeah, it's definitely them recording themselves live.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure Mike is in his bathroom again.
Yeah, he likes the bathroom.
Now, have you? Yeah, he loves these bathroom sessions. But yeah, like Eddie's vocal track doesn't, it's not the album track, you know?
Right.
So I'm assuming he just like recorded himself in the studio and then recorded himself singing, lip syncing to that recording, walking around his house. It's cool. It's a fun little video to watch.
Now, the reality is that because the way you have to do those videos, all those dudes have little home rigs. Right,
mm-hmm.
They can all record their own parts, and they just start with one, and they send it to each other, and each person videotapes right. themselves playing and recording just their part, and then they all put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Latency—that's the problem.
Right. Well, we experience it, and we're not even like trying to play music; we're just talking to each other.
Right. Like when I yell and get loud, I can hear me yell a second later through your headphones. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why you couldn't do that with music. Anyway, where were we?
All right. We were talking about how All Right sounds like it was different recording studios and then they mixed them all together. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Kinda.
We got off on the live stream thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, same kind of thing though. Everyone's mm-hmm. got their home studio and they probably sent tracks to each other and each one, you know, spent time building. Because obviously this is another example of a kind of built orchestrated drum track. It doesn't sound like mm-hmm. it's just one pass with him behind a kit. He's got different tom stuff going. There's percussion. It's not just a straight ahead drum kit, you know. It's a straight ahead drum kit with the, it sounds like he's got his snares off, so his snare is a tenor, like a tom, and he's got the hi-hat going, but then all that other stuff on top, which I think is pretty cool.
Now, that's, you correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't most modern music recorded that way? Like each piece separately? Do any bands, you know, play live in a studio together?
Well, that's what I do, but that's because I am blessed with a space that was built in the 90s for tracking a bunch of people at once, which we're in this weird spot where it's such a gem because there's not enough money in the industry to warrant someone building out a proper studio like I have now. Does that make sense? Like people mm-hmm. coming up now, unless they come up in New York or LA and they're engineering on a fucking Lady Gaga record or a whatever, they're doing really big shit that pays tons of money because people can record at home now, right?
Right.
So I luck out that I have people here in Birmingham that are rock bands or just bands, and they're used to playing live. That's how they rehearse. That's how they play shows.
Yeah.
And it's more about being able to capture that. And so some of it is, you know, it also makes my studio expensive. And we don't charge as much as we probably could just because the market won't support it. You know what I mean? So it's mm-hmm. one of those things where I want to hang on to this space and make it viable for as long as possible because, man, I bet. I mean, to replicate this space somewhere else would cost so much money. I wouldn't be able to do it, you know? So I think a lot of it depends. A lot of bands do it that way now because they don't have access or the money to access a big studio like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I think most bands, if they could, they would absolutely rather play live, you know, in the studio. Like a lot of the bands I work with, it's not even click track. They just play. And we play the song over and over again until someone starts feeling something. You know what I mean? But that's a luxury. Mm-hmm. So.
I got Rubber Soul on vinyl this week. Mm. And I was like reading about it while I was listening to it. And they said they recorded that album like in 2 weeks.
Oh, sure.
2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then like mixed it. Like in 12 hours or something?
Maybe. Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
That's the way all that shit was back then, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, they didn't know what they were doing. They're just trying shit. Right?
Yeah.
Because now you
It's an like every song is amazing. And like as an album, it's an amazing album. And it's like, how do you do that in 3 weeks? Like the Black Album took like 3 years.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
It's just like insane to me that they recorded that album in a matter of 3 or 4 weeks.
Right, but
like
they didn't have
it was done.
Like, but that's the thing that's different now, right? Is that the Beatles in some cases were inventing a new thing, and it all came from, you know, it all came from Chuck Berry and folk and all these different things, but they were doing kind of new shit, and so therefore there was no, like, when you're in the studio now all these years later and technology's changed and people go, well, I want it to sound very, what record were you just talking about, which one?
Rubber Soul.
Yeah, I want it to be very like Rubber Soul type record. And it's like, well, what does that mean? Like, that's not possible, because the way those records sound the way they are, yes, because the technology was different, because it was tape, because they were limited on how many tracks they could track at once. They had all these limitations, and some of those limitations dictate a sound that you can't get rid of it, right? Like, it's the sound of tape is built in to any record that was recorded on tape, because digital is it's a exact ones and zeros representation of what the input is, right? So it's there's no color to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those records had in early Pearl Jam records, those were done on tape, right?
Mm-hmm. A Fear Inoculum, by the way, was recorded on tape.
There you
go.
Just
want to point that out.
Yeah, but again, that's a luxury, right?
Yeah.
To be recording on tape, you know, a proper record, you are spending a lot of money, because a lot of tape manufacturers shut down. Tape's more expensive now.
Yeah.
There's less people that know how to run the gear. I mean, keeping a tape machine running is not easy. Like, you've got to fucking take care of those things. They break. Tape gets fucked up. Like, it's not easy work to record on tape, but if you can do it and you're a great band like the bands that we've just been listing, it's the only way to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, another Brad rant. Well, we haven't even listened to the song yet.
Yeah, let's listen
to the song.
Yes,
how about that? All right, here we go.
Yeah, this stuff just evokes like a real, like, floating through the trees in the early morning. I don't, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know if that makes sense. That's how I see it. Like a real, like nature sounds or something. Even though it's like
which ties into the lyric, I think, but.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it for yourself when you want to run and leave some part unrevealed, like the flight of the bee. Keep it for yourself. It's all right. I know we've said it a million times and we've had listeners email us, but just again, like listening to this right now with headphones, like I can't recommend that enough. You just hear little stuff in the background.
Absolutely.
And especially a song like this, like when the drums come in, and it just sounds so cool on headphones.
Absolutely. And a lot of that's obviously it's the band, but it's also Mr. Josh Evans.
Oh yeah. It's all right to turn it off. Ignore the rules of the state. It's your own. It's all right to shut it down. Disappear in thin air. It's your own. It's all right to be alone. To listen for a heartbeat. Like, you can hear Eddie real quiet in the background, like doubling himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever heard that before without the headphones.
Yeah, that's a kind of a thing that doubling's a really normal thing for lead vocals, but you know,
mm-hmm.
depending on the song or depending on the genre of music, it's sometimes it's really noticeable and it's really part of the sound of the vocal. And sometimes it's just tucked in there to give it a little bit more of whatever it needs. Like sometimes I'll tuck a double under there and kind of like really crank up the lower end frequencies to help warm up this lead vocal. Or sometimes the lead vocal needs more like top end and like attack and energy, and so you'll take the double and actually cut out all the low end frequency kind of, and like really, like you would never listen to this vocal on its own. It would sound terrible on its own because it's really like high endy and sharp, but when you tuck it underneath that lead vocal, just those little parts kind of stick out a little bit, and it gives, you know, the vocal more energy in that case. So
right.
Pearl Jam stuff, a lot of times when there's doubles, it's more supportive and kind of tucked in. Like you wouldn't notice it if you were listening in your car, right?
Right.
It's a total like headphone felt not heard kind of thing. Whereas,
but I think you do hear it in the car, like subconsciously or subtly.
Otherwise,
like, you know what I'm saying?
There's like, no point in being there. Yeah.
You would notice if it was gone, but you don't notice when it is there. Does that make sense?
Dude, you just touched on one of the most important kind of concepts in production and mixing music. in the sense that, like so
that's
many
what they're going for.
Yeah. Like the thing that I just described to you about the vocal, like what you can do with a vocal right. and using a double and stuff. Those are the things that make that you just think it's a vocal, right? Or the person mm-hmm. who doesn't think about these things and just experiences the music, right? But
yeah,
if it is barely in there, it's tucked, but if I took it out, you wouldn't know what I took out, but you would know something changed.
Something's off, right?
You know, yeah. It's a really, I've learned that mixing, it sounds weird to say, but it's kind of psychology. Like if you really pay attention to mixes, I love how some producers and mixers are able to fool you. Like, as I've said a million times on the show, I listen to a lot of hip hop and rap, and it's amazing to me that people think if it's hip hop and rap, tons of bass, but that's not fucking mm-hmm. true. If you really listen to a lot of the great hip hop rap records, there's not heavy synth bass rattling the car throughout the whole thing. It's just, but you understand why people think about low end when they think hip hop and rap, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But man, Jay-Z records don't always have a ton of low end. It's this weird psychology thing. Or I started doing this thing where I need the snare to pop out in the chorus, but the snare and the vocal are too like close to each other. And then I realized like, oh, let the snare slam for the first bar of the chorus. Because it introduces it to the person's head. Like, this is what's happening. But then you automate it and tuck it down. And the listener doesn't notice. They heard the impact of that snare at the top of the chorus. And it's almost like their brain keeps it going, even though I've actually turned it down. Right? Because you can't fit everything into the two speakers. But that goes back to like what you were saying. It's like these felt not heard changes. And that's why Brendan O'Brien is a fucking beast. And Josh Evans is a beast. And all the producers that have worked with Pearl Jam are fucking great. You know? Because they know those little tiny little things. Well, yeah, exactly. And I'm sorry, but especially Earl, you guys know how much I love Brendan, but... And he would have to admit this. His work was only that great because he had that great of a band in the studio.
Right, to work with.
He had some great stuff to work with. And he knew how to make it better and make it a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway. Man, I'm doing a lot of producer rants today.
I like it.
Hey,
well, there's a lot to talk about with these songs.
It's true. Let's. You want to talk about lyrics real quick? I don't want to.
Yes,
not.
I
talk
totally
about lyrics.
Do.
Yeah.
No, we have to because
go for it.
This is a song that 20 years ago I would have been like, ah, it's so slow and boring. Mm. But but now I'm like, I guess I'm not the metal kid that I was. Now I'm metal man.
Hey, metal
Sorry.
Man.
no, but everyone changes as you get older. You get whatever. But the lyrics
that was
song,
deep, by the way.
Was that deep? Everyone gets older and
it
stuff.
Changes. Like everyone gets older, man.
Everyone gets
and changes. Everybody
know
dies, man.
You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, but what you do in between.
I've got dead people in my family, bro.
That's what matters.
Yeah. Actually, I've got most of my family is dead. If you think about it.
Over
the generations.
Going back. Yeah. Yes, right. Yeah. That's a deep thought, dude.
Ooh, come on.
Most of my family is dead. There's me. My kids.
It only goes back like two generations, man.
Oh, my God. My grandparents are dead. Their parents are dead. Their siblings are dead.
Right. That's the thing.
My dogs aren't dead.
They are definitely not dead. They're back in action.
All right. The The man, this song though is just so like, I mean, the whole thing is like about it's all right to do all these things that you think you're not supposed to do. And it's kind of the like, I'm okay, you're okay, which some of that stuff is kind of like hippy dippy. But man, in this song, it just works. These lyrics just work so well.
I feel like this represents a lot of the content of the album in some way to me. I don't know. I feel like this is a good example. This song lyrically is a good example, even though it's, and that's what's great about it, is Jeff's lyrics, you know. It fits in, I feel like it fits into the same ecosystem as the general topic for the whole record. I don't know. I think a lot of it's about like, it's okay to chill out. Like, I realized this about myself, that I was brought up with this kind of, I have a strong work ethic built in anyway, I think, but I feel like I grew up in a time, and I don't know if you feel this way, that it was like, you got to work all the time, and you got to, if mm-hmm. oh, you're not totally. Tired, then you're not working hard enough. Right. Like, you got to make your way in this world, and there's truth in some of that stuff, but it was this like, oh my God, what? I'm graduating high school, and what am I going to do with my life? I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? It was this, yeah. But I got to do something. I got to work three jobs, and I got to all this stuff. And it's been like almost 40 years of my life kind of feeling that way. And it's only been in the last year or two where I kind of realized it's like this song. Like, no, it's okay. And it's small things. Like, I need like 30 minutes at night at some point to go outside in a little table in the backyard and bring a Bluetooth speaker and my phone and just listen to a record or listen to a podcast I'm trying to catch up on. I just need that 30 minutes. And I right. used to go, well, there's something else I could be doing. No, you should spend that 30 minutes with your kid. You should, all this stuff. And it's like, well, all that stuff right. goes to shit if I can't do things like just sit for a moment. You know what I mean? And yeah. and some of the work that I'm doing is just so I can say that I'm not lazy. It's not stuff I have to do. It's not stuff that's important to me. And a lot of times it doesn't even make that much fucking money. You know what I mean? And I feel like this,
yeah.
that's what why I love this song so much, is I feel a very, even if I'm wrong about where this song comes from or whatever, I have a very kind of laser focused attachment to what I feel like this song means.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
When he says stuff like, I should have like highlighted some lines.
I found one.
When he says, it's all right to be alone, to listen for a heartbeat, it's your own. It's all right to quiet up, to disappear in thin air, it's your own. Like that one fucking verse.
Right.
I can't tell you how much that kind of resonates inside me when I hear that in the song, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people, like, there's a lot of people in this world that feel like if they're by themselves, they don't have anybody.
Right.
That they're doing something wrong.
Yep.
Or there's something wrong with them because they don't have a significant other, or their family is shitty, so they're not with their family. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like Eddie and Jeff are speaking to those people and saying, look, it's okay. Like you're okay.
Right.
Like you're with yourself and that's good enough. And it's all right to be alone. And I fucking love that sentiment, you know?
Yeah. I mean, to your point, it's like I had to learn another reason why I love the lyric of the song. I had to learn to find the value. God, this sounds, I can't believe I'm saying this. It sounds so cheesy and trite, but it's so true. But like I did not see value in me. And I was looking for it in all the things that I thought I was supposed to be doing to make other people happy. You know what I mean? Instead of,
yeah,
it's not selfish to focus on the things that you love and you're good at, because in the end, you will be more fulfilled and you will be able to fulfill other people in ways that you couldn't before. You knew what your personal value is, what you're good at, what you bring to the table. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Totally. What's that saying? You have to love yourself
before you can love other people.
Before you can love any, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it does sound cheesy saying it out loud, but it's true. It's true.
Yeah. And it's weird, man. That's why I have turned into a person that like really values my sleep, because sleep doesn't mean I'm lazy. Sleep means I'm getting rest so I can do a really fucking good job at my job tomorrow. And I'm lucky enough that at the end of the day, I might be fucking broke and all that stuff, but I really love what I do. You know what I mean? And that's mm-hmm. worth way more than a little bit of extra money in my bank account. Now, I don't mean that I wouldn't love some extra money in my bank account, but it's not the reason why I get up in the morning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
No, it's going back to what I was trying to get at about how this is a slow song, and when I was younger, I wouldn't have liked it. I think that what they're saying lyrically, like, needs to be said, and people need to hear this. But it's also, like, the way Eddie sings it, it needs to be a slow song to get these thoughts and notions out. Because if he was singing it, like, blood style, you know what I mean?
Sure.
It would sound too aggressive. Mm-hmm. So you need Eddie's, like, soothing, slow voice to be saying these things. Because Good Will Hunting, that scene where he's like, Will, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Like, he's being super, quiet and slow.
Deliberate.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Deliberate. Yeah. Like, that's kind of how Eddie is singing these words and singing these lines. And you need him.
Yeah.
To be singing like that.
And I'm
to be able to accept these words into your mind.
Right. No, I hear you, man. It's a, man, I just had a thought. But I was trying not to talk over you, and now I forgot my thought.
Sorry. Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, it was before Good Will Hunting. Oh, well. This has been one of those Brad Lyons Red Bull shows anyway, so I think it's okay for me to just shut the fuck up for a minute. What else you got on this one, man?
It's just a weird song musically. Like,
I'm so sorry. Now I am going to cut you off because I remember what it was.
Do it.
I was going to backdoor what you just kind of brought up and say, I'm going to get real nerdy. And to your point, even in the arrangement of this song, which I thought was kind of interesting the first couple of times I heard it, and then I realized there might be a point to it, which is after each verse, there's another instrumental round before the next verse, almost as if he's saying these phrases, and then it's giving you time to kind of think about them. There's another idea or phrase, and then time to digest it. Because those turnarounds are useless. Like, a normal arrangement kind of session, which they don't do, which is what I love, which is why they have such weird arrangements that work. But you would say, no, we don't need that turnaround between the two verses. Make that a double verse. Just do the keep it for yourself and then go straight into when do you want to run, right? But they don't. They do a full cycle back around and just add some perk each time. I don't know, obviously, if that's intentional, but with the subject matter of this song, I thought it was interesting that you literally have time to kind of ruminate over what was just said before he goes on to the next thing.
Right. Well, because each verse is, he's saying the same thing in each verse in just a different way.
Right.
You know, but he's there again, like you said, they're giving you time to catch up and really think about what he just said. And if you didn't get it, okay, here's another verse of a different way of saying the same thing.
Right. Yeah, man.
It's such a cool song. I like this song a lot. It's such a cool, it sounds weird and cool, and the lyrics are very They can be kind of emotional, you know, and eye-opening. It's dude, awesome.
Dude, I think this song live could be one of the openers. Think about that lyric to start a Pearl Jam show. Come on. Like, no one can see me, but I it was almost like reflex. I just did the arms out stick man when I just said that.
Put your hand. Put
yeah,
your
my hands are
sky.
Up to the sky. It's just like that's how I. If the lights went down and you heard that bling 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 ding, bling ding, bling ding, bling.
Ding. Yeah. Oh man, you're doing it,
dude. Just in a whole slow burn song talking about like fucking chill out. Let's be here together.
Yes.
This is what church is supposed to be like. You know what I mean? Like this huge group of people, all different. Just taking a fucking second to enjoy art and music with people, you know? Or it could be a cool, like, come back from an encore and right. start an encore set with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, man, I think I love this song more now than I did an hour and a half ago when we started.
Right, me too. I think so, me too.
I was like,
and I have a real weird. I keep thinking the song is "It's All Right." Mm-hmm. The title of the song, that's gonna bother me for like the rest of my life that I keep saying it wrong.
Yeah, but that's what he says, so it's understandable.
I know, but yeah,
it's not like he chose a different word. Well, should we shut it down?
I think we did it.
I think we did it, man. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks so much for all the emails. Keep them coming. If you would like to email the show, The Brads, you can email singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. We're on social media. And head on over to patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory for all that information.
Podcast. Chicago.
Oh, man, I'm not a huge, you know, oh, God, we got to get out of here. But I did want to tell you, because I got a session in like 10 minutes. Man, all right, so Clint's Bob Dylan thing he just went through.
Mm-hmm.
Unprompted, didn't see it coming. I just started one of those things last night, and you know who it is? It's not
Dylan?
Even music.
Oh.
Nope, it's not even music.
Oh, is it Jordan?
Fucking Rodney Dangerfield, dude. I love
that's
him.
That's awesome.
Holy
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I got to stop. But we got to talk about that.
Okay.
At some point this week. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
I just pulled a Brad B. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Back to school? Okay.
Until next week, I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek. No, I'm Roddy Dangerfield saying, I get no respect. No, I'm Brad Blazek saying, find your groove in the sound, keep it for yourself.
Hell yeah. Peace.
All right. Love you, bro.
Love you, bro.
said no. I'm dead.
Ah, that was high. Fuck yeah.